Will you turn with me once again to that passage we read in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 17? And you will find the words of our text this evening in verses 12 and 13. And we read there, "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And especially these words that we find at the end of verse 12 about these lepers, where it says, "which stood afar off." We see something wonderful here brought before us in this passage. We see that Jesus Christ entered into a dark village. Yes, that's what we're told. We're not told the name of that village, but we're told that he entered into a certain village. And up to that moment, that village was in darkness. And when Christ entered into that village, the light of God came with him. And friend, it is true of you and me tonight that it doesn't matter what village we live in, or what city, or what town. If we have not Christ, we are in darkness, spiritual darkness, the darkness of our nature, and the darkness of sin. And whether you feel it or not, that is true. And you might say to me, "Why do you say such things?" Because God says it, not because I believe it, but because God says it. And here we have something wonderful about the light of Christ. For when Christ came into that village, these lepers saw something that they had never seen before. And that's what I want us to consider this evening. Why did they stand afar off? As they stood afar off from Jesus Christ, they saw something new. Three things that they saw this evening. First of all, they saw what they were themselves. And that's why they stood afar off from Christ. And then secondly, they saw something of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, they saw something of hope. And oh, it would be good for you tonight, friend, if these three things were true of you. For I am sure there are some in our gathering this evening, and it is true of you that you are standing afar off from Jesus Christ. And it is true of many of you here tonight that that was your experience in your unconverted days. And it is true of you, as you sat in the house of God, you were afar off from him. Well, seeking the help of the Lord this evening, let us look at this. You see, there's nothing in Scripture that is by and by. And we're told these 10 lepers which stood afar off. And as they stood afar off, first of all, they saw something of themselves. Now let's be absolutely clear They saw it because Christ was in their village. Christ himself was there. And friend, this night, in this little village, Christ is here. Where the gospel is preached, Christ is there. And he is here in this little village tonight. And the first thing they saw was that they were lepers. They were lepers. You see, up to this point, they only had the company of lepers. There was 10 of them. And you can imagine what they were doing. They were comparing themselves with one another. And oh, some of them would have been worse than they were. And some of them would have been better than they were. And isn't that the way we are as sinners? We live with a company of sinners. And we compare ourselves with one another. And in our own eyes, we're better than some. And in our eyes, we're worse than others. But as Christ entered into that village, all that comparison, it was all gone. They saw themselves as lepers. And it didn't matter how bad someone else was, or how much better someone else was. They saw themselves as lepers. And friend, let me put it to you tonight. Do you see yourself as a sinner? It doesn't matter if you're worse than anyone else, or if you imagine that you're better than others. That is an irrelevant. Do you see yourself like these 10 lepers saw themselves? They were lepers. The presence of Christ in their midst showed them what they were. And they saw that as lepers they were excluded by the law of God from the company of Christ. Because, you see, as lepers, they were unclean. Unclean. And the law of God stood against them. And the law of God said, you're unclean. And you don't have the company of Christ. And in your uncleanness, you can't have the company of Christ. You can't. Oh, but they'd never seen it before. But that night, or that day, they stood afar off. Why didn't they approach him? Why didn't they walk up to him? Many others who were unclean, many others who had great problems, came to Christ. Some fell at his feet. Ah, but these lepers didn't. Because they were slain by the law of God. They couldn't get past the law. Oh, they could compare themselves to someone else and they could say, I'm not as bad as he is. But when the law came, it meant exclusion from the presence of Christ. And friend, you know it tonight. You know as a sinner that the law of God excludes you from the presence of Christ. But I put it to you that they saw something else. They saw that they were dying in that condition. That's what they saw. And they saw it for the first time. Oh, you see, they'd got so used to the leprosy. They'd got so used to managing the leprosy as good as they could. Sometimes it would break out in their hands. Sometimes it would break out in their leg. But they always seemed to manage. Isn't that the way with sinners? They manage their sin. When it breaks out against them, they manage it. But when they come face to face with Christ, all their managing of sin goes out the window and they're faced with death. Death. They were dying in that condition. And friend, it's true of you. You're in exactly the same condition. Oh, you can deny it. But every time you go to Stornoway, you pass a big cemetery, and God reminds you that death is coming. They saw it because Christ was there. And are you here tonight? Doesn't matter how old or how young you are. You go to cemeteries. You will see gravestones for young children. Have you seen what these men saw about themselves? Well, friend, let me put it to you like this. If you have, it's because Christ has revealed it to you. You haven't seen it by yourself. What they saw about themselves, that they were dying, and after death, the judgment was coming. And oh, that we would see these things for ourselves tonight. That we would see what Christ brings to us. Because, you know, friend, we have to face up to it. We have to face up to it. You've got your plans for tomorrow. So have I. But will we live? Will we live to carry these plans through? What if tonight you get that call that nobody can resist? Oh, I'm not talking about the call of the gospel. I'm talking about the call to the judgment seat of Christ. They saw something of themselves, and if you're here tonight, you see something of yourself, then friend, you know there's great encouragement for you in this passage of Scripture. Because secondly, let us move on and see what they saw of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, we need to see ourselves. But we need to see Jesus Christ. What did they see? They didn't see very much. But they saw enough. They saw enough. They saw, first of all, in his name, that he is the Savior. That's what the name Jesus means. And it's interesting, isn't it, what they called him? They said, Jesus, Jesus. They saw that his name was fitted for his reputation as the Savior of sinners. And do you see that tonight? Do you see that tonight? Oh, I'm sure all of you have learned this from childhood about Jesus the Savior. You've all heard it before. You've all been taught it. But do you see it? That he's the only Savior. The only one. They saw that he was a Savior. They saw also his Lordship. Jesus Master, they say. Master. Oh, the Pharisees called him Jesus of Nazareth. A derogatory term. But not these lepers. These lepers saw his Lordship. And in that word, Master, they were expressing that knowledge that lies in the heart of every one of us, that the day is coming when we will meet him as Lord. As Lord. Oh, you can have a few paltry years in this world, running about doing your own thing. But you know that the day is coming when you will meet him as Lord. Not just Lord of you, but Lord of all. The Lord of glory. And oh, how that thrills the heart of the child of God. And how it fills the heart of those who are not, with the greatest dread. Oh, you can pretend to yourself you don't dread it, friend. You can pretend to yourself. But when you're in bed at night and your conscience stirs, or when you stand over an open grave of a friend or a relative, the thought comes back to you. Jesus Christ is Lord. But they saw something else. They saw that he was not like them. He was holy. And they weren't. And isn't this a wonderful thing? Isn't it a wonderful thing when we see Jesus Christ as holy, and they stood afar off? You notice, there's not a hint in the passage that he said to them, don't come near. Their own conscience told them that he was not like them, their own conscience, that he is holy. And as holy, he cannot abide sin. He can't abide it. Ah, friend, do you see these things about Jesus Christ? They saw something of his glory. They saw enough of his glory. And they were scared. They were scared. and they stood afar off. And you know, friend, whether you want to admit it or not, that's you. If you were here this morning, where were you sitting? You were sitting at the back because you're scared to approach Christ. And here tonight, where are you sitting? Doesn't matter which row of the church you're sitting in. You're sitting afar off from Christ because you're scared. You're scared of him. They were frightened to come near. And you know, it's a good sign. We live in a day and age when men and women are trying their best to bring God down to their level. But thank God, that'll never be. He will remain the Lord of glory in all his awesome holiness. And yes, he will continue to frighten sinners. He will. They saw something of themselves. They saw something of Christ. But thirdly, they saw something of hope. And it was the presence of Christ that brought this sight. Because, you know, tonight, there will be many individuals, and they will be in pubs, and they will know something of themselves, and they'll know something of Christ and his Lordship, but they know nothing of hope, nothing. Because they are not where Christ is to be found. They are not where Christ is. And you see, friend, where Christ is, there is hope for the sinners. There is hope. Hope. You notice. They saw two things about this hope. The first thing they saw was this, that they had no hope in themselves. No hope in themselves. They didn't come to Christ and say, Lord, Jesus, Master, deal with me as I deserve. Give me what my works deserve. Why not? Because they knew that in themselves they had no hope. They had nothing to bargain with. Their life had been wasted on themselves and on their sin. They had done as they pleased. They hadn't loved the Lord their God with all their heart. They had set up idols in their lives. They had profaned the Sabbath day. They had taken his name in vain. And according to the commandments, according to how they had lived with one another, oh, they were guilty of that as well. No hope in themselves. Is that you? Here in the house of God tonight, you know other people are looking upon you. And you know what the Lord's people are saying about you tonight, friend. They're saying that you've got hope because you're under the gospel. But are you saying about yourself, oh, I am hopeless. I am hopeless. I could never be like them. I could never walk that road that they are walking. They saw that they had no hope in themselves. But they saw something else. That there is hope in Jesus Christ. And they cried for mercy. Jesus, Master, we don't deserve it. Jesus, Master, I've trampled your law underfoot. I've broken your day. I've sinned every way possible. But is there mercy? Is there mercy for me? Jesus, Master, have mercy. Have mercy. Oh, what a prayer. What a prayer. Have you ever prayed like that? Will you ever pray like that? Ah, you young people here today, I'm sure you face a great temptation. I'm sure your own wicked heart is looking round about you and it's saying, well, look at all these old people that God has spared for many years. I'm all right. I've got plenty time to have peace with God. You think so? Now's the time. Today's the day of salvation. Jesus Christ was in that village on that day. So it is for you. Now is the accepted time for you young people. Oh, don't you listen to the corruptness of your own heart. And you might say to me, how do you know I think like that? Because let me tell you, friends, you young people, there are many in this church when they were your age. They thought exactly the same. I'll have plenty time. And you know, there are some tonight, and they are far older than you, and they're still in their sins, and they still won't cry for mercy. Don't put it off because you're young. But ah, you older folks, some of you here tonight and your heart is telling you it's too late. Oh, your conscience tells you that you've sinned so much that God won't have you. That it's too late for you. Oh, it's just our wicked heart casting aspersions on the person of Christ. Because I tell you tonight, by the authority of God's word, that if you cry to him for mercy, he will have mercy upon you. He will have mercy upon you. Young or old, Jesus, Master, have mercy. They saw that in the mercy of Christ, there is forgiveness. Forgiveness of sin. Sin is a debt. By being sinners, we are debtors to God. And you know what a debt is like if it is not paid. It gets bigger with the passage of time. But he is able, because he is God and man, because he is the only Redeemer of God's elect. He is able in his mercy to wipe out that debt, and that debt will be gone forevermore. Have mercy, they cried. Have mercy. Ah, friend, do you see that there is hope tonight? There's hope for you, because Jesus Christ is passing by in the gospel. There is hope for you. He was on his way to Jerusalem, and he entered into that certain village. And how thankful that Samaritan was. Is there one here tonight? And you're thankful that Jesus Christ is merciful. Can you imagine for a moment if he was to deal with you as you deserve? What would happen to you? But he's merciful. We were singing there in Psalm 130 about his mercy. Yet with thee, forgiveness is, that feared thou mayest be. Ah, friend, tonight, as Jesus Christ is passing you by in the gospel, are you still standing afar off, like these 10 lepers, looking round about you at your company of sinners, and saying to yourself, oh, I'm not any worse than anyone else? Ah, what happens when you meet with Jesus Christ? What's going to happen to you then? Ah, you know. You know what's going to happen. And I urge you, friend, this night to lift up your voice and plead with him that he would have mercy upon you. For in that mercy there is full, free forgiveness for sinners. That's why he came. That's why he died. That he would draw sinners to himself. Those who have no hope in themselves, but see hope in Christ. One of the 10 returned to give him thanks. Only one. You know, we fail to grasp the force of this passage when we concentrate on that. We fail to see the glory of Christ in his mercy. When we argue and debate 1 out of 10, what does it teach us? Friend, these things are for another day. The great question tonight And the great truth tonight is that Christ is merciful to sinners. To sinners who have no hope in themselves. Why won't you cry to him for mercy? Why won't you lay hold upon him as he's freely offered to you in the gospel? Oh, I urge you. I plead with you. For the glory of his name, to lay hold upon him tonight, while there is yet time. And don't go out that door as you came in, standing afar off from Christ. Don't. It may well be the last time you do. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Oh, how good it would be for you if you would do the same. May God bless his word to us.